Hello, welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. A bit different today. I'm giving Emilian his first week off in a year. Wow. So happy Mother's Day. That means different things for different people. Some of you will be having a lovely time with your mums and some of you will be feeling sad today. So we are thoughtful for you and prayerful for you. Right, so I hope you are comfy. Not too comfy. Remember, I can see you. I know if you're sleeping, no napping. And we're going to worship today. And we call this our, it's kind of like our Sabbath, isn't it? So I just want to start with some words from Eugene Peterson, who says this: Sabbath is not primarily about me or how it benefits me. It is about God and how God forms me. It's not in the first place about what I do or don't do. It is about God completing and resting and blessing and sanctifying. It means stopping and being quiet long enough to see, open-eyed with wonder, resurrection wonder. Let's pray together. Lord, we come together today because you are worthy, not because it meets our need, but because you ask us to spend time in your presence together. And Zoom seems to be our best option at the moment. Lord, you are worth all of our time and love and attention. You are holy, perfect, good, faithful and wise. But we admit, Lord, that whilst we claim to follow you and serve you, we're often distracted or lazy or have bad attitudes. So forgive us, Lord, and make us ready to see you and hear you today. Help us to do this together, even though we aren't. Bless those watching on YouTube and those here on Zoom. And Lord, bless those who've drifted from our family and may need an encouraging word from one of us to come home. Thank you, Lord, that the church is not a building. We are a body with you as our head and a pretty vital part, Lord. Help us not to hurry forward today without you. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask our lovely Madupe to read the first three verses of Psalm 34. And I've asked her to read it in the ESV. Thanks, Madupe.
Okay. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Thank you very much. Let us exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. That's what we're doing today. Glorify, just in case we need to clarify all these holy words that we have. Glorify means to praise or describe someone as admirable. And exalt means to think highly or speak highly of somebody. So today we're going to think about how we admire God. We're going to speak highly about him. We're going to praise him. And a great way to do that is to sing it. So the wonderful harpers are going to lead us in the song, The Splendor of the King. Thank you.
He wrapped himself in love.
was really beautiful. I really do love that song. I know we sing it a lot in our church, but it's really special to sing that together in our different circumstances. Well, in Sprouts at the moment, that's the group for the 3 to 7 year olds. We learn a memory verse, but we learn it over a number of weeks because we're quite little. And the memory verse I thought I'd again share with you at church. And yeah, some of it is sign languages and some of it's stuff I made up. So the sign language for Jesus, I think we all know, is when we point to our palms like this. So the verse says this: Jesus died. 2 fingers of each hand and they bring them down like that. Jesus died for us. That's it. So that's the first bit. So that we point to each other. Now the next bit is can live. And I decided live should represent what we are at Sprouts. We are little sprouting plants that are growing strong. So this is live. It's making a sprouting plant. Let's start at the beginning. Jesus died for us. So that we can live. And then the whole theme of the service we have to get today is togetherness. So that we can live together with him. Okay, so that's the words. We'll do that one more time and then we'll learn where it's from. Jesus died for us so that we can live together with him. I've had fun teaching the children where this verse is from because it's from Thessalonians, which is quite hard for a 4-year-old to say. So it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. At least this bit's easy, the 5 and the 10, nice and easy. One more time. Jesus died for us so that we can live together with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 10. I think that's quite an easy one to remember and a really important one as well. And that verse goes on to say, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And we are doing. I know we can't be together, but I also know of some wonderful things that people are doing for each other. So grateful again to the Hendersons for organising so that everybody gets flowers. That's been really special and heard some lovely comments back from Sprouts mums who've had flowers as well. But there are all kinds of things that folks are doing for each other to build each other up. Grateful, so grateful for that. So we are going to say a prayer for each other. And this prayer is based on Psalm 34. Now Madupe read the first 3 verses of Psalm 34 for us. And originally, I'll just tell you now, the talk I was going to do today was all on Psalm 34, but I've scrapped that and I'm doing a completely different talk. So this prayer is now based on Psalm 34. So if you have it open in front of you, you'll be able to see where I'm getting these bits from, but you don't need it to be open in front of you. But let's pray for each other for now. Later on, Amy is going to be praying for worldwide situation. But just now, let's pray for our own togetherness and our own church family. Lord, thank you for our church family. Thank you for accepting us, whether we are 3, 33 or 103. Thank you that in David's psalm that Madupe just read a bit of, you ask us to glorify you together. Well, we aren't strictly together, Lord, but we do live in an age and in a country where we can see each other on our computer screens. So we're really thankful for that. Lord, that psalm talks about the righteous, and we might not feel very righteous, but Jesus' blood has made us right, so that does mean us. That psalm talks about the humble, the poor, and those in trouble. Lord, help us to be humble in your awesome presence, to be poor in spirit, recognizing that we're completely dependent on you. And Lord, if we are in trouble, in any way, that we will cry out to you and also ask for help from our church family. Lord, some people in our church family need to know your goodness just now. Help them to take refuge in you. Lord, rescue, heal, deliver, protect, and be close to them. So, Lord, as we continue in our alternative kind of service together, we pray that we will taste and see that you are good, that we will fear you, but in the proper sense of the word, knowing that you are all powerful. Help us to turn from anything that is not from you, and may your Holy Spirit guard our words and even our thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, I can think of 10,000 reasons why we should sing this next song. So let's hand over to the harpers again, please, for 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. Lovely. I so appreciate that you every week nearly share your beautiful talents with us in your singing voices. It's brilliant. So children, I don't know if you've got these, you should have these on email, your sheets for today. They include a place for you to draw lots of people on the screen. Obviously you can't do everybody, but you could choose 12 people from church. If you put it on gallery view, then you don't have me big, which is always a bonus. And choose 12 people to draw. And perhaps when we have our cuppa later on, we can have a look at those pictures and see if we can guess who's who. That would be great. But the point of today is all about togetherness. And we need to think about that. And I'm struggling, this business of making new friends whilst we're on Zoom and we can't actually be with people. I make my own friends. I've been accused of actually making friends. This is Bob, and this is Phyllis, and this is Bill. I make friends by actually making them. I have a lot of things around this room that have googly eyes on it. But actually, I want us to think about how we are friends together, how we have this togetherness, even though we can't leave our homes. It doesn't involve toilet rolls and googly eyes. We're going to look at three different online platforms that are, that we use. Microsoft Teams, Zoom, and WhatsApp. Now that might feel like, what is she doing? This has got nothing to do with anything. But we're going to start with Microsoft Teams. There's the logo up there. And that's as much as you're going to see. And then you're going to come back to me. We're going to think about things are much more exciting than that. But actually, I just want to start with those three platforms, we call them, three places where we try to do a bit of togetherness, but we do it on the computer. And if we start with that first one, Microsoft Teams. Now, you know that I work for NISCU, which is Northern Interschools Christian Union, and we work in schools. We did work in schools before all of this. But at the moment, we're just busy making videos and making resource packs, and they're being really well used by teachers who are quite stretched these days. But actually, every week now, we meet as a wider team, so the whole of the northwest of England, every week on Microsoft Teams. I didn't like it at all at the beginning. And actually, it's a little bit of a problem because all of us are children's workers or schools workers. So we're all a bit silly. So when we discovered that there's that together option where you can all sit in a gallery or you can all sit in a cinema or under the sea behind the rocks, it's kind of hard to get any work done because there are a lot of people being very silly. But Microsoft Teams has taught me that I can be with other people in other places and people that I'm not normally with. These circumstances we found ourselves in NISCU, it means that people work in Penrith, who I never really got to see except like once every 2 or 3 months when we have a team day, I now get to be friends with. I have a new friend called Ruth. We chat for ages. We make silly plans. We share our resources. We do big projects together. And I didn't know Ruth very well before COVID. In fact, we've both worked for NISCU for over 20 years. And yet we didn't know each other very well. And now I'd say we are close, which is weird because we aren't physically. But I've really enjoyed working with new people and getting to know them better. Perhaps, even though there's been so much sadness and so much that is hard about this year, perhaps you've learnt something new or got to know somebody better that's different to how you'd normally get to know somebody. My eyes have been opened. In 1 Corinthians 13, which we think of as that kind of passage all about love, it says this: now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. That's in verse 12. Now God already knows us, and yet he still loves us. And he asks us to get to know each other and to love each other. Jesus wants us to be united. That was his last prayer before he was arrested and before the Garden of Gethsemane. His prayer for all of us and for those believers yet to come, which is us, that we would be united and made one. We need to get to know each other and earnestly pray for each other, even if we can't be together. We could be the answer to Jesus' prayer as we are united in love. Jesus didn't pray for his church to be dynamic or trendy or huge. He prayed for us to be united, to know each other and to love each other. So let's pray for our LBC family and for our team. Let's pray for each other when we see each other on our screens. And some here particularly need our prayers at the moment. Some are going through some very difficult times and you might not know what they are, but Jesus does. So just look at somebody on the screen, think about them this week and try to remember to pray for them. I have to say that unless we ask, sometimes we won't find out. We need to ask people how they're doing. Again, as working for NISCU, I emailed a school this week just to say, just want to let you know that this week we are specifically praying for your school. I did not expect an answer. This is a school that is never in touch with us and a little bit suspicious of our Christianity, I think. But immediately, as soon as I sent the email, he immediately replied and asked for prayer for something specific. Not a Christian head teacher, but somebody that values our prayers. So ask somebody. what they would like prayer for. Okay, we're going to move on to the next one. I'll do a Chris Whitty next slide, please, Carl. We're going to look at WhatsApp. Now, WhatsApp I use to talk to my family and to our local NISCU team, not the big NISCU team, the smaller one. But it is my favourite thing to use every week for something, communion that we do every Thursday. There are about half a dozen of us and we take about 15 minutes and we don't see each other. We just type in messages, we put in prayers, put in a link to a song. And do you know, I think it is my favourite time of the week, stopping to remember the cross and knowing that we're all sitting in our own homes with our symbols of bread and wine in front of us. And by the way, anyone is welcome. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to be included in the WhatsApp group. But it is a lovely time to stop and remember the cross. I would even say that I think I've discovered that these half a dozen people, and maybe a few more than that, are a bit more charismatic than I thought. There are quite a lot of hallelujahs and amens going on in that group. But then when we look at communion, when we look at that Last Supper, we look at something even better. Let's look at the promise that Jesus made to his disciples. He said to his disciples, I'm not going to drink of the vine again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Next time Jesus drank wine would be with his disciples, with us. That is true togetherness. But then I think about those disciples as they're handed that cup and as they hear Jesus' words, this is my blood, they're probably confused. They're looking at this red drink and they're thinking horrible thoughts, thinking, what is he saying? What is about to happen? And they may even have missed the fact that he's just given them this amazing promise that Jesus said, I'm going to drink this next time with you. What is about to happen now is that I'm going to fulfill everything that needs to happen for my Father's kingdom to take charge. He's going to knock the prince of darkness off his pedestal and make God's kingdom a reality on earth. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Whilst Jesus was scared and in anguish, whilst he thought about the crucifixion, he was also aware that he was going to make it possible for true togetherness, for man to be together with God. That was an eternal and life-changing miracle that was about to happen. There's going to be such a party in heaven. It reminds me that there's an anticipation now for all of us, isn't there? For those of us who haven't seen family for a long time, we are longing to be with family and hug family again. And that's just a tiny, tiny taster of what it's going to be like when we are together with Jesus in glory. Just before, like a week before the very first lockdown, my family was supposed to have a big family birthday bash for my mum's 80th. We were all going to stay together in one place and have a great party. We weren't able to have that. We decided to cancel, even though it was the week before lockdown happened. But now we are anticipating such a sweet celebration when we can all be together. Now, of course, my family are in the Isle of Man, so they're even more cut off than anybody else because they'll have their restrictions longer than everybody else. But I am so looking forward to that. And when we think about that, and when we think about actually the way that we'll be together in glory will be so much more exciting than just meeting up with family and friends that we have missed. It's a little taster, isn't it? Right, let's go. Next slide, please, Carl. Let's go to the last one of the three platforms that we're thinking about. We're going to think about Zoom, of course. Zoom is what we're doing now, of course. And Steve and I have commented that the cuppa that happens after this service, which shouldn't be called a cuppa because none of us actually have time to go and get a cuppa now, do we? But anyway, it's been really good. Because we've got to talk to people that we wouldn't otherwise probably have got around to chatting to if we'd been in physical church. Because you know those greens, the right busybodies, one of them would be off counting money and faffing about and doing administrative things, and the other one would be sorting out music and faffing about something else. So we don't get to chat with people, other people. And I think that's a really important part of what church is. So I'm glad we have these cuppas, and I found it really interesting to get to know some other people better. One of my favourite things to do on Zoom, though, is connect group, which Amy Fisher leads brilliantly. And we've done some wonderful things. We've looked at the Beatitudes, and that is why my reference to poor in spirit was there in the prayer. And also now we're looking at covenants, which is why I'm thinking about Jesus' covenant, his oath, his promise when he was at the Last Supper. If lockdown has left you with any time on your hands, and for some people I realise it's meant that you're busier, perhaps you work in the NHS or perhaps you're a teacher and things are crazy busy. But if you have been left with time on your hands, this is a wonderful opportunity to look at the Bible more, to learn more, to let your life be transformed more by God's word. I got myself in September, I think it was, a journaling Bible where there's room down the sides for us to write things. And you know, I've been a Christian for over 40 years, but I'm always gobsmacked by how much more there is to learn and how little I already know. Spend some time allowing God to transform you by looking at his word. I'm just going to move my notes. Sorry, I've got them in the way. And when I think about Zoom, I think about little Letty. Our little Letty, who is our, yeah, the baby that's missed out on being physically with us, hasn't she? When I think about Letty, I think about right at the beginning, a year ago, the Ellershaw family and ourselves and a few others were getting together every week to play some silly games and do some fun things. And Letty saw us as little heads and shoulders on screens where all of our voices came out of the same little space on a laptop. And that's all she knew about us until in the summer, when lockdown eased a little bit and we were allowed to have pizza in the Ellershaw garden, then Letty's eyes were wide open and she stared at us and she looked at our legs and she wondered what was going on. Because we weren't little heads and shoulders on a screen, we were real people. And you know, I think we see Jesus a bit like that. I think we see Jesus in a tiny little package, and it's really, we must read our Bibles and we must get to know him better. But that's so limiting. When we see Jesus face to face, how amazing is that going to be? It's going to be completely different. It's going to be like seeing somebody on Zoom to seeing somebody in real life. In the New King, in the King James Version, it says in 1 Corinthians 13 again, that we see as through a glass darkly. And I think of little Letty and thinking that's how she sees us, as through a glass, a screen, darkly. And then she saw us face to face and she was wide-eyed. We will be like that. We will see Jesus face to face and be wide-eyed. As Penelope put it in communion last week, we will be lost in wonder. I'm quite excited about that. Hope you are too. So Teams reminds us that one day we will be fully known. And WhatsApp reminds us that one day we will party, we will drink together with Jesus. And Zoom reminds us that we can look forward to being not just face to face with people we've missed, but face to face with Jesus himself. Whatever we are facing now, keep on encouraging each other to think of eternity, knowing that Jesus wants us to be fully known. He wants us to drink that cup with him in his Father's kingdom, and he wants to just see us face to face. In all of our togetherness at LBC, we need to remember, though, that we are a tiny part of God's family. So I've asked Amy if she will do some prayers and help us to think about the wider world. I believe her boys have done some artwork for us and given us some flags. But I'm just going to give them a moment. Are we all ready, guys? Amy, hand over to you for some prayers.
Thank you. Okay, ready? All right, so over the past few weeks, our family has been using this book to, it's called Window to On the World, to help us pray for other nations and people groups as a family together. It's a really good book, and we've learned a lot about other places and cultures, and especially what it is like to be a Christian in those places and some of the challenges and the blessings that they have in these other countries. So we've asked the boys to pick four of the countries that we've learned about so far so that we can pray for those places as a church. And these are some countries that we maybe don't often think about. So we're going to tell you a little bit about them. And we're going to hold up the flags for you that the boys have drawn so that we can pray for them. So First up is Greenland. Okay. Greenland. Greenland is the world's biggest island, and most of it is covered with a thick layer of ice. Because it's so far north, the sun never sets in summer, but the nights are very long in winter. 1,000 years ago, the son of a Viking ruler became a Christian, and so did many others. But when Danish missionaries came back 700 years later, no Christians remained. So today, Christianity is the main religion, but for many, it is just a tradition that means going to church once a year for Christmas. But through things like the Jesus film, camps for children and youth, and a recent translation of the Bible into Greenlandic, more people are learning that Christianity means following Jesus day by day. So let's pray for Greenland. Father God, thank you so much for Greenland and for how you've worked through this country in the past. Thank you for the people who are actively sharing the good news in this country, for things like the Jesus film and these camps, and for the people who worked so hard to translate the Bible into their language. Father, we pray that you would revive the church there. We pray that you would help Christians to encourage one another to be different from the world around them so that they can truly be salt and light to others in that country. Amen. Okay, now we have Bangladesh. Ready?
Bangladesh is a small country near India. It is very crowded. It used to be a very poor country, but that's changing. It is hit every year by terrible floods and cyclones that destroy houses and kill people. The majority of people are Muslim and some are Hindu. Many have never met a Christian, and Bengals are the world's largest unreached people group. But God is at work and the church is growing.
All right, let's pray for Bangladesh and the people there. Father God, we thank you that your church is growing in Bangladesh. We know that it's one of the countries in the world with the most people in it, and that so many of them have never heard about you and never met a Christian. But we thank you that your church is growing. We thank you for the many missionaries over the years who have worked there. And we pray that there would be, that the Christians that are already there would be able to go out and share with their own people the good news of your gospel. And that you would help the rest of the world, people like us, to provide them with the tools and the money that they need to be able to go and do that work for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, next up we have Chad. So Chad is a country in the middle of Africa. It is a peaceful country, but it is surrounded by countries troubled by civil war and terrorism. Many refugees flee to Chad, and apart from French and Chadian Arabic, there are over 124 other languages spoken in this country. The Bible has been translated into very few of these languages. Most Chadians are Muslims, but there are many Christians too. Chad is a poor country where the weather and the landscape make it difficult to provide enough food for everyone. We've heard of the work of David and Gwyneth Carling around Lake Chad many years ago, preaching the gospel and working with leprosy patients. Sadly, since that time, the lake has shrunk by 90% due to climate change. So let's pray for Chad. Father God, we thank you that people are at work sharing and translating the Bible, and that the church is growing in Chad. And we pray that the Bible would be translated into more languages so that everyone in Chad can hear or read and ultimately understand the gospel and the amazing good news that it holds for them. We pray for persecution in the country, especially for Muslims who decide to follow Jesus. We pray that you would give them the faith and the confidence in your gospel and in your words so that they can stand strong and hold fast even when they face many difficult challenges. Amen. Okay, and last up, Nathaniel, we have Greece.
Ancient Greece has a big impact on our culture. Science, impact, politics, art, the Olympic Games, and the New Testament was written in Greek. The Apostle Paul was a missionary to Greece, and there have been Christians there for 2,000 years. It is still described as a Christian country today, but for many, Christianity has become more of a tradition than a living faith. Many migrants and refugees arrive in this country every day, and many have never heard the gospel. Christians are showing them God's love.
Thank you. So let's pray for Greece. Father God, we thank you for Greece. We thank you for the many great things that have come out of that country. We thank you for all the science and medicine and logical thinking and things like the Olympic Games that a big part of our own culture and the world we live in today. We thank you for Paul, who preached the good news there so long ago, and for the Christians that are in Greece today. We pray that you would revive the church there. We know that there's a lot of traditions in the Orthodox Church, and we pray that people there would realize that you are alive today and that Christianity is something that needs to be lived day by day. And I pray for all the Christians that are caring for the migrants and refugees that arrive every day in Greece. Please help them to show your love in practical ways and to be able to share the gospel with these people who have often never heard of you before. And we know we've prayed for a lot of countries just now that we don't often think about. We know there are lots of countries where Christians are persecuted. We know that there are a lot of places where life is hard for many people, and we've only been able to cover a small snapshot of things going on in the world. Help us as we pray during the week, put things on our hearts so that we can bring situations to you. And as we end, we pray for ourselves and for our church. I pray that you would help us in the midst of our own challenging situations to remember our brothers and sisters in the wider world, and help us to remember to pray for them, support them, and learn from them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, guys. That was educational and really, you know, a lot of deep thought went into that. That's really lovely. Thank you so much for sharing, and for the boys for their colouring. And that's brilliant. In fact, if you are thinking, do you know, we're a bit insular, aren't we? We're a bit focused on ourselves. Then please do, any of you already do the Open Doors, give to Open Doors or get information from Open Doors, but they help us to understand places around the world that are where Christians are persecuted. If you've got children, you can get for free a map that tells you about the places where Christians are persecuted. Tearfund are also doing a lovely map at the moment, so you can learn about different places in the world, or you can ask Amy about that lovely book that she's been doing with her boys. But let's open our eyes a little bit more beyond our own boundaries. I know the news is very focused on us at the moment, and there's so much happening around the world that we need to be aware of. We're going to sing in a moment, Blessed Be Your Name, but I just want to share with you before we do that, every month we send out to about 25, 26 children something called Pen Pals. And Pen Pals is a kind of follow-on from Holiday Club that we did last summer with, I can't remember how many children did the different kind of Holiday Club we did last summer. But it's been good to keep in touch with them. So we send them a recipe, we send them a little craft pack, some puzzles. Dan does a little thoughts, an application thought for us. And I write a little poem. So I'm just going to read the poem because it's about the cross and we are preparing for Easter, these few weeks up to Easter. And then I'll hand over for the song after that. Sorry, Renee, it was already. It starts like this. I wonder if you've ever had a task to do that felt so bad that you would wake up every day with dread and hope another way would come along and rescue you from that hard thing you had to do. Well, Jesus knows how that must feel. His task was tough and it was real. The night before the dreaded day, he asked if God could take away the thing he didn't want to do. But knowing that it was for you, he kept on going to the end. He could have asked that God would send some mighty angels, stop the men who put him on a cross. But then, without a perfect holy man to take our sin, no other plan would work. And we would reach our end and find we couldn't be God's friend. So Jesus showed his love was strong and took our sin, our pain, our wrong. The cross was cruel and Jesus saw such sadness never seen before. But Jesus knew his God would do a miracle and make things new. He came to life because God's love is powerful. And now above the angels sing, his task is done and God can offer everyone new life. For Jesus paid for sin, so Easter means life can begin. As we sing this song, it's about how we need to bless God, whether we're going through good circumstances or very difficult circumstances. But Jesus went through the worst circumstances for us. And yet he endured it for the joy set before him, for the joy set before us of being face to face with Jesus, of partying with Jesus, of being fully known. Let's sing this song, Blessed Be Your Name. Thank you.
Let's sing it, pour out, turn back to
before I do the closing blessing, let's just see if we can remember that verse right from near the beginning with this. Jesus died for us so that we can live together with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. Let me just say a blessing. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Okay, that's the end of our service. I apologise for my fringe. I cut it myself the wrong week. I didn't want to mention it at the beginning of the service because I didn't want to distract you. I think we're still on live. I'll just wait till we finish, but we're going to have a cuppa after this. There we go. So we'll have a little time of chatting with each other, getting